Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILX.
Welcome back, Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford. Tom, please, please, do me a favor. Do not sing Rocky Top. Please. All right, kill the music. We don't want
to. Hey, I got a trivia question.
Yes.
Two stadiums that you can tailgate by boat.
Yes.
Name them.
Washington and Tennessee.
There you go. Very good. You're very sharp this morning, Jack, despite getting, like, what, 2 hours?
And I'm not a boater. Now, you would like that, right?
Oh, I'd be all over that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
with your wine and cheese crowd, having your sampling your brie
in
the morning.
That's the kind of tailgating you bring your boat.
All right, let's welcome in a good friend from Knoxville, Tennessee, and he has covered three SEC schools, also covered Bama and Auburn, and that is Mike Griffith, the pride of Mason, Michigan. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jack.
Well, are you doing better than Nick Saban, and how many pimps have you run into in the SEC?
Well, I don't know. I think it's funny that Nick Saban would be equating agents to pimps when his agent, Jimmy Sexton, took a Tennessee player by the name of Dante Stallworth long ago to dinner and cost Dante Stallworth his eligibility at Tennessee. But that didn't stop Nick from hiring him and making him millions.
Ooh, good catch there, Mike.
That's good. I like that. Now, is the SEC really the conference here where all the attention is given because it is the number one conference, or are they doing things a little differently in the Southeast?
Well, they're winning championships. They're winning Heisman trophies. They're filling stadiums to capacity. They're getting more money in donations. It's more of a priority in the South. You and I have talked about that many times before. You know, there really isn't a whole lot else outside of college football, and that goes back to, you know, the fact that there's not as many pro cities now.
Exactly.
And that's the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
college football and NASCAR.
Absolutely. You're talking about this in the state of Alabama, Mike. This is Tom speaking here. It's amazing. I mean, the NFL doesn't even exist in their minds. So Alabama football, Auburn football, even Georgia over there in Athens, they don't focus on the Falcons. There's so much emphasis on college football, which is why I like the SEC, but why these issues are so much at the forefront.
Well, and I think these are issues that happen everywhere, guys, but because the Southeastern Conference is under a microscope,
right,
it gets a lot more attention. I mean, let's face it, this stuff's been going on at Southern Cal for about 7 years under Pete Carroll,
at
and
least.
It took them 4 or 5 years to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, Mike Griffith is a bulldog. I don't say that because he went to Mason High School, but he's the kind of guy who, now you were not at SEC Media Days this year, right?
Right,
okay.
Right.
But if you had been, you're the kind of guy who would have asked that question about Jimmy Sexton to Nick Saban,
yeah,
and then we really would have had a soundbite.
Yeah, and I probably would have asked the Tennessee coach a few questions, too. Instead, Tennessee comes out of there with everybody saying, oh, that's great. All the other SC schools really like Derek Dooley. And I'm thinking, well, that's just great, folks. That's the kiss of death. Whoa, if they like your coach, it's because they know they're going to kick his butt for the next 4 or 5 years till you fire him.
Exactly. You know, when you see a coach who gets a lot of testimonials from other coaches,
oh, yeah, look
he's
out.
A bad coach.
Yeah, from Lane Kiffin.
Nobody ever sat
Dooley.
There and gave Steve Spurrier a big round of applause, the other coaches, you know.
Well, let me put it like this. The opening two questions to Derek Dooley were about his mother and his father, not about what's going on the Tennessee football field. And the Tennessee fans are just beside themselves. You know, Jack, Tennessee had an opportunity to play Southern Cal in next year's kickoff opener. The Chick-fil-A Bowl organizers came to them in Southern Cal and said, hey,
wow,
let's put Lane Kiffin up against Tennessee. And Tennessee cowardly backed down, afraid to lose. So instead, you're going to have a Tennessee team coming off a 4, 5, maybe 6-win season that's going to open next year against North Texas. How many people are going to be talking about that game versus had Tennessee accepted that game with Southern Cal, national spotlight, recruits looking, Tennessee knows that they're not strong, and they're taking themselves out of the spotlight.
Wow.
I think making a huge decision, a huge mistake there.
How much heat has there been for that decision not to play that game?
Well, I've tweeted it a few times, and most of the fans say to me, let it go. It's a dead issue. Stop bringing that up. Stop bringing what up? That you're afraid to lose to Lane Kiffin? I mean, I think it's horrible. I think it's the kind of stuff that put Michigan State in trouble back when the Spartans used to think small,
yeah,
back when they used to schedule small. Hey, look, if you're going to play If you're going to end up losing to Central Michigan, you might as well be losing to somebody big. I mean, how many embarrassing losses to Central Michigan does it take before you figure out that you might as well start scheduling a big-time opponent where at least you get some pop for it and get some exposure, you know, instead of nothing but embarrassment for the next 15 years because you can't beat Central Michigan?
Well, you know what's funny about that is in all three of those seasons, Central Michigan had a better program, and I just think Central Michigan probably stepped down in class to play Michigan State.
Yeah. And, you know, Mike, I want to get back to Tennessee just for a second because, you know, you're talking about Michigan having infrastructure. You got to fill all these seats. You got the suites and everything. Neyland Stadium has got the fancy suites, and they have the huge stadium, and they have the big following. There's going to be a huge amount of fallout here if they don't start turning this thing around, don't you think?
I think there already is. I think there's already a problem with ticket sales and renewals. I don't think you're going to see a capacity crowd at the opener. I think that what you see listed in attendance isn't going to match what's actually in the stadium. I think that's a major concern right now, and I think that Tennessee is doing everything they can to play to their fans. But I think they made a big mistake when they let go of Philip Fulmer. Fans don't want to hear that either. Now, right. Granted, two of the last 3 years Philip Fulmer was there, he did have a losing record, but he also almost beat LSU in the SEC championship game the year before he was fired. He made a coaching change. It didn't work out as an offensive coordinator. They didn't give the big guy an opportunity to start winning again. And that's because we've got this now generation, Jack and Tom, yeah, where if you don't win in this 2 or 3 year window,
right,
You're done.
Yeah. Mike, you have seen firsthand what happens to a power that assumes it's going to have 100,000 every game. And, Tom, as you've alluded, Michigan's getting close to the point where they're going to have to win some games.
Well, this is a defining year right now.
It's exactly right. And, you know, with the new stadium configuration and all of the suites and club seats they have to sell, there's no guarantee that those are going to be sold.
Right, right. Now, you know, it's funny. I think of Phil Fulmer, I think of Lloyd Carr, very similar situations where you didn't really know how good you had it at the time.
Well, let me take it one step. I'm glad you went there, Tom. You're reading my mind. Let me take it one step further, and let me bring up one name that Lloyd Carr and Philip Fulmer have in common, Ryan Mallett. Let's just say that Michigan had given Lloyd Carr another year, and Michigan had Ryan Mallett under center right now. Would they be better off? And let's just say that Philip Fulmer had made the hire of those Michigan coaches and gotten Ryan Mallett to transfer to Tennessee. Would Philip Fulmer still be here right now?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting point.
We're talking with Mike Griffith of the Knoxville News Sentinel, and he covers the SEC, has covered three different teams down there, and now does television and radio and of course, writing, covering the Volunteers and Volunteers basketball, and Bruce Pearl on the job that he has done. And I got to tell you, Mike, when I saw you during the NCAA tournament, we saw a heck of a basketball game.
We saw a great game, you know, and it was everything that you thought a Bruce Pearl Tom Izzo matchup would be, with two teams that played hard and going down to the final second. And, you know, whether it was a foul or not, you know, it sure looked like one live, but in slow-mo it didn't. Even so, Bruce Pearl, to his credit, says, you know, hey, if they get the ball that close, then they deserve to have a foul called for them, whether it was a foul or not. But a great matchup in a game, you know, I'll tell you, I'd really like to see again. This would be a great home-and-home for both of these teams. Both of these coaches are great with the media. And I'm glad to hear that Tom Izzo's decided not to take the trip to Mars. I mean, how ridiculous, I mean, did he really need the ego? I love Tom Izzo. Did he really need the ego gratification? Did he really need it? Is he having problems at home? Is it a midlife crisis? He wasn't going anywhere.
Oh, he was very close to going. Let me tell you, into the last day, I can't tell you how close that was to happening.
So ridiculous.
Don't tell me. Don't tease me with that little fantasy.
At the end, he just said, I can't disappoint Tom Crawford. I can't be somewhere else and not give him something to whine about all winter. But, you know, it's interesting you talk about the foul and the call there. And that time, Raymar Morgan got the call. And as Bruce Pearl said, you know, you're in that situation, that's what the referee's going to do. But Michigan State then went on and played Butler, and in an almost identical situation,
right,
Draymond Green is fouled, and you can see, you know, you've got the stop action of the hand on the arm and all that stuff. And he didn't get the foul.
Yeah, but Jack, it's in Indianapolis, and Butler's the story.
You get in that situation, you're going to get some breaks, and you're not going to get some breaks, and the way to get around that is don't get in that situation.
Well, it is what it is. And, you know, again, it's Butler and it's Duke, and everybody in college basketball is happy once again that, you know, Duke's back on top and Mike Krzyzewski's a great coach again. You know, sometimes, you know, Jack, and I guess after you've been around it a few times and you see how the story plays out, you can, it's almost like a NASCAR race. You know, if Dale Earnhardt Jr. gets in a car that's got a number 3 on the door, he's going to win. Okay, let's just face it. We know that the fix is in, and we know that that officials are going to be influenced by certain coaches and games in certain locales. When the NCAA fell in love with Butler, they were going to get to that national championship game.
You know, Mike, the irony of this conversation we're having with you is the fact that we went from Tennessee football, which was the cornerstone of that university, to the fact that the basketball now is a big emphasis. And you had, I remember when they built that 3,000 seat arena, you know, post Ernie Grunfeld and all those, you know, and they couldn't fill the damn thing. And now all of a sudden you're a basketball.
Well, they only filled it for the women when they played a big
game.
Well, don't, you're right. Well, don't tell the Tennessee fans that they're a basketball school or they'll start hating basketball even more. I mean, it's just, it's kind of funny. I mean, really, it's like that. I mean, they don't want to be known as a basketball school. It's a football school. The same thing happened at Alabama. You know, I don't know if you remember all this, but in 97, they pretty much gave Gene Stallings the idea that they didn't want him. The administration did. The fans started complaining Alabama wasn't winning enough. Well, Mark Gottfried came home. Favorite son came home from being assistant at UCLA, and Alabama basketball got really good for about 6 or 7 years. And right about the time Alabama football started getting good again, Alabama basketball kind of went down, and it was just about a year and a half ago that Mark Gottfried got fired. So, you know, I'll be curious to see what Bruce Pearl's tenure would be. I think maybe another 5 years. I noticed that Alabama and Michigan State have a home-and-home in football.
Yeah.
All that tells me is that Nick Saban will be gone from Alabama by the time that they play Michigan State.
When does that happen? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it was 2016 and 17, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be gone. He'll be far gone. He'll be far gone.
He could be like two jobs away. Right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Michigan might even be winning in football by then.
Well, I don't know. That's only like 6 years away. Come on now. You're going to have to really step up the pace.
To build a program, Jack.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for joining us. As always, we'll talk to you during the season.
Great input.
Hey, before we let you go, who wins the Brickyard 500?
The 400. I think Jeff Gordon's due, so I'm going to take Jeff Gordon.
He hasn't won all season, right?
Yeah, wouldn't that be a good story?
Yeah, I'm all over that story.
Oh, we just put Tom in depression for the rest of the morning. All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, guys.
Something tells me you won't be watching that.
I don't think so.
We'll be right back. We're going to talk with Ryan Field of FSN Detroit, host of Tigers Weekly and other shows. We'll be right back with that and more. The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.